Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name, the name above all names, Jesus. Lord, we've given you worship. We've sung songs of praise to you. We're giving our hearts to you, Lord. Anoint my lips to speak. Anoint the ears to hear, the hearts to receive. Whatever it is that you want to speak to the individuals here, Lord, those listening online, you have a message for each individual here. For this day, in Jesus' name, amen. In Joshua 23, verse 8, in the New Living Translation, it says, Joshua says, "Rather cling tightly to the Lord your God, as you have done until now." And truthfully, our world seems to be in the midst of birth pangs. And we as believers, with our spiritual eyes open, we intrinsically see with our inner being the coming storm. And it's vital that we, instead of focusing on ourselves, saving ourselves, we need to focus on the one who has the power to save us. We know as believers that at some point Jesus is going to come back, and that believers will be caught up to Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. And we need to be ready for his return. And we have to place our hope and trust in him and his sovereignty above all. And I know that's a great thought. And I've spoken with many of you over the past few weeks. And many of you, including myself, have been feeling this surmounting pressure on all sides. It can feel as if the weight of the world is suddenly and quite heavy on us. It's a swirl of uncontrollable events where the pressure gets quite intense. And it's as if the world feels like it's crumbling all around you. There are moments in life where things can be so devastating that there are no words to utter. Life gets overwhelming. And you see those around you and you see their lips moving, but you can't absorb the words. You try to move forward in a normal routine, and the world just seems to move around in slow motion around you like you're walking in a trance, giving your best effort to press on. In moments of trouble and crisis, in trauma and strife, it can be difficult to remove yourself from the pain you're presently experiencing and look to him for guidance. Look to God for guidance. Life can hurt deeply, folks. It can scar the most tender parts of your heart. And it'll make you feel like your life is completely out of control. And the truth is, it is. Life is not ours to control as we think it is. You know, life is manageable when the bills are paid, when your kids are healthy, when your marriage is working on all cylinders, when church is delightful, your work is enjoyable. But when the bank account gets empty, or the test results reveal serious illness, or when your marriage is sitting on the edge of disaster, life is no longer controllable. Unexpected bills, heartbreaking conversations, and a life of heavy burdens unload themselves into your world that seems to be shattering before your eyes. And we never plan it this way. But there are people all around us holding shattered pieces of life, wanting desperately to put those pieces together. And there's only one who can. And I know These tears are not just of me. This is for this church body. It's as if the anchor of your soul has been ripped from the deepest depth of your heart, and the ship of your life has been lost out to sea. So what do you do when you're worried and you're hurting and your life is out of control because you can't control it? You cling to Jesus. You cling to Jesus. If you know him, he's already with you. He's right there in the midst of the uncontrollable, and he knows every detail to the finest of your struggles. He is an anchor that does not budge. When everything else changes, and it's a guarantee in your life it will, he alone, Jesus, is a constant. Again, cling tightly to the Lord your God as you have done until now. When life is swirling around you and you feel like you're shattered in the storm, it's time to sit in the Master's presence. Get alone and allow God, the potter, to fill those shattered pieces. Because you have an anchor that holds you steady through the darkest, darkest nights, through the intense storms and the devastating winds. Hebrews 6 says, for example, verse 13, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name saying, I will certainly bless you and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently and he received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who receive the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. And there are two things unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope that you're holding to, folks, it says here, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. That's where man could not go. Once a year, the high priest could go into the inner sanctuary to make atonement for sin. But because of Jesus, it says, Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He is the anchor of our soul. Cling to Jesus. Because the shaking of the foundations are going to intensify swiftly, folks. What we as finite beings, we have a beginning and an end, right? What we desire is security. And we try to gain it, as Katie said, in our 401ks or whatever we feel like we can control, and we look for to have it all the way till we pass in this life. And it's impossible. And God is dedicated to that one proposition where man is concerned that you cannot have security apart from him. Man tries to create it, God denies it and says, the only way you get security is through me, through my son. And not only the foundations of this earth, but God is shaking some of you right now. I know I'm being shaken. And he is purging many things in my life. Things that I thought I would never have to give up control on. He's also shaking the foundations of this earth and the heavens. The world is in a season of shaking, folks. And it's an exponential curve of change. And it's coming swiftly upon us. And it can leave you feeling dazed at times. And it seems like the very earth under your feet has crumbled and your stability and your equilibrium are gone. And the deep waters are raging all around us, just as Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling. This kind of shaking has to do with the events that leave us stunned, even traumatized. When life changes in a way that you could never imagine. When things happen that we thought never would happen, they do happen. And that weight is heavy upon you. And when all is raging, God says, be still. 46 said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The oceans are raging. The mountains are shaking. The nations are raging with war all around in that psalm. Yet they are told to be still. And it's applicable to us to be still. Because when we are not still, our mind is going to be filled with so much noise of the swirl of the trials all around us. You have to get into the Master's presence and be still before him. Allow him to calm your fears. Allow him to calm your worries. God is who he says he is. He is our shelter. He is our provider. He is our healer. He is our strength. And when you are focused on God in the midst of the trials, it shows a heart that trusts in the Lord. So knowing all of that, cling to Jesus. If you're clinging to Jesus, you're waiting and you're trusting in him. And the waiting isn't, it's not sitting back. There's a waiting in action, but you're waiting on him to direct your steps. And waiting is tough. And it gets a lot tougher by the hour. There's an old comment in business that when your competition is sinking in the water or in the sea, you put a hose in their mouth and turn on the water. That's what the world looks to do. And there are numerous people in here that feel like you are drinking an excessive amount of seawater. And you think, how much longer, Lord? I don't know how much longer I can stand. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I don't want to be a part of this world. But then you get little moments of reprieve, refreshing. The little blessings of here and there. And I'm grateful for those moments. But our trust and our faith have to be greater today and moving forward in the Lord than ever before. You've heard before about casting your thoughts, right? Casting your thoughts onto Jesus. Casting those cares upon him. Because you have to know where are my thoughts? What are my thoughts being filled with? I was there this past week. And the world wants to really get you to think a certain way. And it's a distraction. It's an illusion. And you really have to make war with those thoughts. The ones that exalt themselves above Jesus. That's why 2 Corinthians 10 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You know what I'm talking about? When the enemy attacks those thoughts in your mind, he wants to create a stronghold. And you cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Our minds love to dwell on everything but God and then remain there. And the Lord says, no, cast your thoughts to me. When my mind dwells on something besides the Lord for a long period of time, I get very weary. And I was weary this past week. And I found myself reclused. I lost my peace. And my joy was being robbed. Satan is a thief. And it says in Scripture that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he loves to do that. And he loves to overwhelm you with fearful thoughts. The thoughts of all the what ifs. What if this? What if this? What you know what I'm talking about? It's the proverbial rabbit hole. You go down. Yeah. Yeah. Clinging to Jesus is in essence abiding in him. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. When he wrote that, when in this scripture, when Jesus talks about abiding, in John chapter 13, Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. And then he's eating the Last Supper, and Judas sneaks out to betray Jesus. And Jesus comforts his disciples who are confused about what is coming. And in John 14, he's like, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to comfort and help my believers. But knowing that the enemy loves to throw the kitchen sink of fearful thoughts, he wants to paralyze you and I with fear. And in John chapter 15 and early 16, Jesus tells the disciples not to be fearful of what is to come. But can you imagine? Put yourself in their feet. They saw Jesus hauled off, falsely accused. One of the closest that they traveled with betrayed him with a kiss. He was tortured and hung to die on the cross. And they had been walking with him for 3 years. Talking with him, asking questions, looking to him for direction and wisdom. How about you and I? We see this world that we live in, and we can see things crumbling before our eyes, and we see signs of the shadow of the tribulation before our very eyes. We are in this generation, folks. And for some of you, your personal life is crumbling. I understand it. And if you look at your circumstances, you will be overwhelmed with fear and disappointment and no joy. I am sure the disciples felt alone, hopeless, and misguided. All very real emotions they would have experienced. And I think for some of you, you're feeling that today. I was there this past week. And maybe you're not there. But there's going to come a time in your life where you will. And that's where you have to abide. How can I abide? What if the world economy is on life support? Maybe your personal financial situation is near bankrupt. Maybe your health is not what it was. Your body's not functioning the same way anymore. And the changes are fast and they're furious. And you feel like you're just treading water. You feel alone and confused and weary and anxious. Cling to Jesus. Cling to Jesus. Cling to Jesus. Cling to Jesus. In the King James Version 23, Joshua 23, it says cleave. Cleave, which in the Hebrew is cling, is dabak, which, you know what clinging means? Abiding. It's all there. How do I abide in Christ when it feels like everything's falling apart? How do I stay and remain? It's being in closeness with him. Surrendering our lives to him. It's a continual hour by hour nature to it. It's not just for a moment. If you're tethered to the vine, that's what gives you your life support. It's constantly looking to Jesus through scriptures, dependent upon the Holy Spirit. It's to be steadfast. Paul said, abiding is, it's almost like to know him. To know him. When he said to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, Jesus, you know, that word knowing is intimate. It's an intimacy that a man and a woman, a husband and wife feel. To know him. Because he purchased us off the auction block of sin. It's a desire of our heart to know him. To remain in him. To love him. To obey him. To be joined together with him. And we do that in keeping his word. Walking as he walked. When things are falling apart, folks, you need to be aware. You have to have situational awareness of the man, the God-man, who keeps you in perfect peace. And you only get there by reading the word of God. His words. Reading your Bible. The living word. This is alive, folks. And it equips you for every situation that comes to you in life. Both good and bad, for surviving the day. Allow his word to fill your mind, direct your will, transform your affections. I guarantee you, as you do that, you suddenly will not care about certain things you used to care about in your old life. Because you're a new creation. You've been given a new heart and new desires for him. The word of God, Hebrews 4 says in 12:13, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of your soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When you read this, it's like it's holding up a mirror as you're examining yourself. And it's showing you things in your heart that need to change to conform to his will. And it says further in there that there's no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. You can't hide it. You may think you are hiding it, but he sees all. Right? The scripture here, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, which is living God's way. It's his way of doing things, which are so much higher than ours. Right? And what happens? That the man of God, and we'll say women here too, that the man and women of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Doesn't that sound great? Yes. Yes. His word does that. And if you're in his word, you're communing with him, and then you need to pray without ceasing, is what the Bible says. How do I do that? It's a constant mind of even when I'm working, I'm doing this to the glory of God, and I'm still connected to the Master. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. That's 1 Thessalonians 5. In everything, give thanks. That's a tough one. Even when life sucks. Thank you, Lord. My wife reminds me of that all the time. When I preach this, you know, but do I live it all the time? Thank you, Lord, for another day to trust you. In everything, give thanks, good and bad. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He's trying to bring something to you. He's trying to bring you and change you and mold you into his image. So you have to talk to him. When you are in relationship with one another, when you are in relationship with someone, you talk to one another. If you're in relationship with Jesus, talk to him. And you know what? It's a two-sided part. It's not just going to him, making known like all the things I want. Here's all the things. Here's the list. No, it's getting quiet too before him. Listening to him. And then it's walking in the Spirit. It's walking in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter sent to indwell inside you. Upon salvation, He comes inside you, the Holy Spirit inside you, and leads you in all truth. Now it's your job to walk in that truth, not reject it. And the Holy Spirit, what happens is He starts to cultivate good fruits and characteristics and traits that convict us. He's a convictor of sin, not condemner. Satan is it brings condemnation. Who are you? What have you done? But He convicts us because He's trying to remove. Sin has consequences. So a conviction of sin, and then it produces transformation. Galatians 5 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. Remember, John, we were talking about that this past week, weren't we? The warring that happens. So, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You want to serve the Lord, but then you let your flesh get so loud that you yield to the flesh. But it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But the fruit of the Spirit, these characteristics, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Sin's fun. Pushing against it and not doing it, that's some long-suffering, right? I'm going to push against it. Steadfastness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, proud. Don't be proudful. Look at me. That's pride goeth before the fall. When you think you got it all put together, and then you know what I'm talking about. You're riding on high, that spiritual mountaintop, and you're feeling pretty good. And all of a sudden that pride kicks in. You think, I got this all under control. And all of a sudden the enemy is waiting right around the corner. Ah, gotcha. Right? Yes. Don't provoke one another, envying one another. Listen, John, you asked, I don't get that. Walking in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit, folks, to walk in the Spirit means that we yield to His control. We follow His lead. And we allow Him to exert His influence over us, not us over Him. To walk in the Spirit is the opposite of resisting Him or grieving Him. That's Ephesians 4:30, grieving Him. You have a hope, folks, that's alive. And if you're feeling hopeless, realize that you have a living hope. Romans 15, verse 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Fruits of the Spirit. You just heard them. Joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not in your own strength. See, I was there this past week, and my joy was robbed because I felt like I could do it in my own strength. That abounding is pariso, which is, it's overflowing, it's unyielding, it's a cup that's overflowing. And because it's sitting under the source that never runs dry. That's why. Hope abounds by the power of the Holy Spirit who's inside you. So walk according to the Spirit. Realize you are an ambassador of Christ. That's your new identity. You are an ambassador. And James says to be a doer of His word. That means you, as an ambassador, you are on official kingdom business. It's not my will. It's not my plans. It's the King's plans, and it's the King's will, right? I'm just a conduit to which he's supposed to use. Do you see that? Right? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. He'll take care of the rest. And you know what? I say that and I doubt him all the time. Guilty. Guilty. I'm guilty. What are you trying to change, Lord? Abide in Christ by telling others about him. You're clinging to him. You're laboring for his glory, for his kingdom. He called us to teach, make disciples, go through all the nations, right? Don't be ashamed. 1 Timothy 1:8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. You know what happens? When you share Jesus with others, you shift your focus off yourself, and you've shifted your focus on others. Isn't that the way of the Master? Isn't that the way of the Master? You see, he was not focused on his circumstances. He thought of others. He laid down his glory. He laid down his riches and became poor. Taking on man. That we may become rich in him. Not monetarily. You guys are here today. Some of you are hurting. But when you come together as a body, that's what this is, a body, okay? And certain parts are hurting and we feel that for one another. Some are not even here today. And we feel that for them. We want to pray for them, encourage them. But that's why we don't forsake the assembly of our saints. When a tree is healthy attached to the vine, there are multiple branches clumped together. There's usually not just one branch shot off by itself, surviving. A healthy tree has multiple branches. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. We talk about peace again, not the fruit of the Spirit. Colossians 3:15-16 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. You guys, some of you, like, why do we sing so many songs? 6 songs, 7 songs, 8 songs? I mean, what's the point? Why do you come to church? Listen to the back part of this verse. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Yes. That's why we sing the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And as you're clinging to the Lord, you start to understand, like, living in this world and all that it has, the shiny things, that good-looking piece of fruit that's really not what we're supposed to partake of, right? You start to learn that, like, I'm not part of this world. And you start, things that are in this life, you start to notice a change and you start to hate the system. The world system. The world is on a runaway freight train. And Satan is the ruler of this world. He is. And the world's kingdoms. It's all things anti-God. And the system works, and it's on overtime. It's on overtime to blot out the memory of God as a whole. That's why you are a pilgrim passing through this life. You are a citizen of heaven. And that's why you're not supposed to love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is 1 John 2:15. For all that is in the world, do you remember this part here? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Do you remember Christ experienced those in the desert? We talked about that, okay? It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And guess what? All the things that you think are so important to you, it says, this world is passing away. It's passing away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Abides forever. So, as you cling to him, there's this, you want to be with him. I am looking forward to the day when that trumpet sounds. To be with the Master and not be in this corrupt world. Looking up that our redemption is drawing near. It is. Until then, he is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our fortress. That's Psalm 91, verse 2. My God, in him I will trust. There's self-control. There's a long-suffering. There's a patience. But then there's an expectancy, too. It's not wasteful idleness. And it's not anxious striving. It's just, I'm looking to the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm looking to him. I can't wait for him to come back. For the grace of God, Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself his own special people. You are special. Zealous for good works. All the benefits that we get in Christ. There's so many benefits, folks. Jesus said in that same passage, John 15, that these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Not on E, not a quarter of a tank, full. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You don't need, the best this world has to offer doesn't even hold a candle to what he's doing and what he's preparing for you. You have no idea. He's preparing a place for you right now. And you can have perfect peace, drawing on his supernatural strength, by his grace, walking by the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not easy, but in the end, you will see it is worth it, folks. To know that the Master is going to call you and you are going to hear him say, "Well done, thy true and faithful servant, enter into your rest." This is not your home, folks. You're being prepared for eternity. And when the going gets tough and the pressure is so intense, and it's going to be there for you. I know that. In this world, you will have tribulation and you feel like you're going to crack. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us." We're pressed on all sides, but we have a treasure inside us. And we're just a container that holds that treasure. And that's the Holy Spirit. You are limited at best, but he is the vine and we are the branches. He has given us his very best. The contents inside you are unlimited. It's the eternal God that is inside you. And it says that the power of Christ may reign, right? The power of Christ, the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not by my might. It's not by my craftiness. It's not by my knowledge, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And people watch you and I as children of God, as proclaimers of the faith that which we believe in. You are a believer. They are watching you. You've heard it numerous times. They are looking for authenticity. So what did you exemplify this past week? When persecution comes, when the trials come, when troubles come your way, is your faith being exposed? Is it on display or is it put under a bushel? Are you abiding in Jesus? Are you clinging to Jesus? When the intensity of the struggle comes, are you vertical, not horizontal, not looking at circumstances, but looking at Him, trusting in Him? It's to show the genuineness of our faith, that others could benefit from it too. It reveals it is not I that live, but Christ in me. And if your faith is being revealed, it shows that you have an eternal view, not temporal. Do you understand that? Regardless of the pain that you have in this life, you have victory in Christ. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. To know that to be absent from the body, the worst. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Because of Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That means when you breathe your last breath, or if the trumpet of God sounds, you are going to be in His presence forevermore. So I'm preaching to myself here. Don't focus on your current circumstances. Don't focus on your trials, lest you fall into despair. What God is trying to do, folks, in all of this, is get you to come to the end of yourself. You have reached the limit of your own capacity, and you realize you can really do nothing on your own. Apart from Him, you can't do anything. Come to me, He says. He is the vine. We are the branches. God uses our suffering and our adversity to take us beyond our capabilities as we turn to Him for strength and direction so that He can use us mightily for His kingdom. So the question is, what is He preparing you for? I'm going to ask the question again. What is He preparing you for? Ask that. Ask Him, what are you preparing me for? Some of you are asking a lot of questions. What are you preparing me for? God's shaking. He's removing pieces of my life. What are you preparing me for? What are you leading me for? And the answer to you, I tell you, and I'm saying this loudly to myself, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Cling to Him. Hold tightly to Him. He's the solution. He is the answer. He's the anchor for your soul. When the raging waves are happening, He's the anchor that holds tight. Cling to Him. Hold tight to Him. Don't let the enemy sway you. He's the answer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I preach your word. I've preached. Thank you for building me up. We need you, Lord, every hour. That we would surrender our wills to you, Lord. That you would direct our steps, our pathways. that we're acknowledging you in all our ways, Lord. We don't have to know all the answers. We just need to trust in you. Strengthen this body, Lord. Strengthen those who are hurting. You're the healer. Be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord, that we would bring glory to you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.